You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. All Marine Radio. For those of you wise enough to spend some time with me this morning, to spend some time in this culture, congratulations. You made an awesome decision. That's right. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, you know. No. Quality decision on your part. And I have to tell you, yesterday, one of the great days of my life. Yeah, in a life that hasn't been uneventful, okay? So, if you listened yesterday, I read a letter that I got. An email that I got at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, so that starts my day, right? And if you didn't hear it, talked about the contribution that post-traumatic winning has made to the leadership and the health of Marines at a school, because they use it, all right, and saying, hey, we want to get you back here, all right? So that's exciting stuff. So that was the first thing that happened. The second thing that happens is I get a phone call from leaders of OneMEF. And that is, those are the Marines at Camp Pendleton. And talking to me about helping. Going and speak to the Marines of the 15th MU, who lost Marines and a sailor to an Amtrak accident. And so, I can't, for me personally, I can't tell you how... I don't know what the right word is. Gratifying? Humbling? I don't even know the right words to use, right? I don't even know the right words that should come out of my mouth to express that, you know, I mean, in event of that visibility, I mean, what the hell, man? You can get anybody you want to come help. The fact that people would look and say, hey, based on things you've done, based on things we've observed, we'd like you to come and and help. And this has been, over the course of the last 20 months and even longer, this has been a fight to really stand up a discussion, a no bullshit discussion about mental health, about moving past just the boilerplate statements and the outsourcing of mental health, about embracing the traumatic wisdom of the enlisted Marine Corps, about sharing that wisdom with everybody that we can share it with so we can change their lives and hopefully and help them in some way, shape, or form. All right? So so I have that conversation. And after the first letter, email, then that conversation. And it's just like, wow. What a day. Then, you haven't met her yet, but I've spoken of her. And her name is Stacy Falzerano. And Stacy reached out to me after her husband, Tom, Colonel type, United States Air Force, graduated the Air Force Academy, had a heart attack and died in their home while he was working out on a treadmill. And picture of health, Air Force Academy grad, would be a general officer in the Space Force. They have a total of 5 kids in their blended family. And so I've been talking to Stacy and about a few things. One of the things I asked her to do, though, was I asked her if she would mind introducing Post-Traumatic Winning for the video that I'm putting to the movie, excuse me, the movie that I'm making. And she said she would try. So Stacy is no, she's no normal human being, all right? And she's an author. She's written a book called China Strategy in Space. So I need to get her on just to interview her. She's a faculty member at the International Space University. She's a former intelligence weenie. Now, I'm reading from her signature, below her signature, in the letter that I'll read you here in a second. So, Stacy, because of what she does, she has to get stuff cleared that she writes. So anyway, she said, I don't know if I can do it in time. I don't think it should be a big deal, but one never knows. So, yesterday afternoon, this letter plops into my inbox. So, I want to read it to you. And so this is the third event of the day yesterday. And this is the letter that I'll read that I've produced to put into this, the movie that I'm making for the Pacific Air Force's Squadron Commanders Conference that will get shown tomorrow. All right. So this is the letter. So imagine me, she said she'll write something. I don't really know what. I know she's smart. I know she's articulate. And so I know it'll be good. Don't know that I was prepared for this, though. Anyway, and I wasn't, because I had to stop reading it like twice. All right, so here it is. All right, so this is her letter that I'm reading, right, that will be read for this movie I'm making. Hey, hun, I'm home. He called me hun, a play on combining honey and Attila the Hun. Inside joke. Hey, sweetie, there's leftover nachi in the fridge, I announced back to Tom as he entered the kitchen through the laundry room door. It was lunchtime on a Tuesday, a regular run-of-the-mill Tuesday, May 12th. COVID-19 allowed Tom to come home for lunch and get an exercise in on our treadmill. It was nice to see him in the middle of the day for the workout. Tom walked up to me sitting at the kitchen table, wearing his OCPs. He sat down next to me, started to unlace his boots, and leaned over and gave me a loving kiss on the lips. He said, "I love you." My response? Well, it's my first regret of many. I perfunctorily said, "Love ya." Why didn't I look the love of my life straight in the eyes and tell him, "I love you so much. I appreciate you so much. I'm so proud of you. You gave me my beautiful family, my beautiful life." But I didn't. Just love ya. Those were the last words I said to my husband. I said a lot to him several minutes later as I knelt over his body, but I can't be sure he heard me. Trauma. The immediate and utter disruption of life, of plans, of feelings and emotion, and of one's existence. Trauma can shake your faith to the core. Trauma destroys your world in a second and is totally forever irreversible, all while you simply are sipping coffee at the kitchen table. Your world just changed forever, and your coffee is still warm. How did I get so utterly blindsided? That's the curse of trauma. Then, in the night, at the height of the shock, grief creeps in to relieve trauma of its evil deeds. Time for a whole new set of horrors to enter my world within hardly any time at all. Grief is such a small word. Some may think it's sadness. It's not. Some may think it's something from which one can heal. It's not. Grief is an inappropriate word for the depths of despair, sorrow, and loss I'm feeling. Trauma and grief are embodied in me as I'm figuratively lying face down on the ground, spiraling into the blackness. Panic and fear envelop me. Sadness engulfs my soul. I'm utterly lost, rudderless. What do? I can't breathe. Is this it for me for the rest of my life? I feel desperate and drowning in despair. I'm the strongest person I have ever known, and yet I'm in need. I need to reach out to somebody. Who? But I don't want to show my panic and weakness. Mere weeks earlier, I'd attended a Wing Command spouse leadership conference, headed by Mrs. Molly Raymond. Life was a cherry on top of a hot fudge sundae. Tom and I relished our children, Michael and Thomas, 5 years old, and Valentina, 18 months old. We had adopted the boys in 2014-15 when we were stationed at Patrick Air Force Base. 4 years later, Valentina joined our family while we were at Peterson Air Force Base. Tom was wing commander of the 21st Space Wing, and word was he would be promoted to Brigadier General. He loved his family. He loved the Air Force and the Space Force. Yep. Life was all good, nothing but a bowl of cherries. My biggest concern was where the boys would start kindergarten. Can you even imagine that that was my biggest concern? Oh, how little I knew. Molly arranged for one of the speakers at the conference to talk with us about post-traumatic winning. That's when I first met Mike McNamara. I was quite moved by his three-hour talk, moved to tears, in fact. I joked with Molly that that was the second time she had made me cry. 2 years earlier, Tom's former wife suicided. Tom's older boys, Trevor and Spencer, were traumatized. We moved Spencer in with us and helped Trevor find a new job near Colorado Springs, which is the home of the 21st Space Wing. The boys were just getting their feet under them when, wham, life kicked us all square in the teeth again. Tom was the glue to all of us. He took care of everybody and everything. He did it all with ease, a natural leader indeed. So after hearing about post-traumatic winning from Mac, I rushed home to tell Tom to call him up immediately and arrange for him to come get in front of the wing. It'll save a life for sure. Tom got it. We were big proponents of suicide prevention and survivorship. But then COVID hit and things slowed down. And then Tom died. And here I am. In the middle of the night, 12 days after Tom suddenly and unexpectedly left us, I was panic-stricken. I needed to reach out to somebody. So I wrote Mac. In full humility and desperation and hating the fact that I was so panicked and desperate, I texted Mac. Quote, really rough day today. Just accepted an offer on our house in Virginia. So many happy times there. Close quote. And in the darkness of the night, Mac wrote back. He did not offer the words of encouragement I anticipated, such as be tough or lean on your faith or hang in there like the kitten from the tree branch poster. Instead, he wrote back, you will have more in front of you. Well, crap. I know that, Sherlock. Oh, wait a minute. My mood just changed. I like the balls to the wall approach, tough love, suck it up, buttercup. It's real and it's refreshing. No flower sniffing. No sugarcoating here. No unicorns and rainbows. Just the reality that you have to survive the trauma and then thrive after the trauma. That's what post-traumatic winning is. You don't need to be just a survivor. You can and should be more than that. Mac's approach is pragmatic. He breaks it down Barney style. Eat healthy. Don't do illegal drugs, exercise, and finally, when you're ready, how to pay it back. Helping others will help you. Altruism nourishes the soul. Volunteerism will help you get out of your personal bubble of hell into a bigger world where you can thrive again. Dare I say, even be happy again. How about laugh out loud again? Or smile without feeling guilty again. Sounds good, doesn't it? Mac's words will connect with you at some level and help steer you in a healthy, proactive, positive direction forward. Now get off your backside and start winning. Signed, Stacy Falzerano, widow of Colonel Thomas Falzerano, mother of Michael, Thomas, and Valentina, author of China's Strategy in Space, faculty member at the International Space University, former intelligence weenie, and now post-traumatic winner. So that bombs into my inbox. And I didn't read it. I emailed her back and I said, would you be able to read this so I can record it? And she said, no. And so then I read it and I texted her and I said, hey, I sent that before I read your letter. I said, fuck, I can't even read the thing, for God's sakes. I said, sorry for asking that question. So, I had a friend recently. His name's Mike Rarick. And he and I coached baseball together. He worked for me when I lived in North Dakota. Mike's a great guy. Funny, we share a lot of things in common. And he's a left-handed pitcher. And so when I started coaching high school baseball, I called him and I said, hey, man, I want you to coach with me. I don't care how many times you can show up a week, as much as you can, come on. So he did. And we had an awesome time coaching because he knows a lot about pitching and the players love him and all the rest of that. But he and I had a conversation not too long ago about something funny, and we were talking, and you know, post-traumatic winning came up, and he said, and he said, if I could just change one person's life, you know, and I said, look, I'm going to send you this thing that I do when I get this movie, when I get done with it, and you'll change more than one person's life. And I don't know why I had that conversation in my head yesterday. You know, what it is to change somebody's life. And so imagine imagine that you help somebody like Stacy, who's in this utter blackness. And somehow or other, the words that you say, the work you've done, helps them find a path, not only to a greater existence, but also a path that changes other people's lives. So, I mean, that could, right? I mean, so your day just got, your already great day just got fired into outer space in relative to goodness and like the Grinch moment I talk about, right? So if the Grinch's heart grew 3 times, my heart must have grown 33 times reading that, right? Compounded with the 15 times it had grown earlier, you know, hopefully having the opportunity to help the Marines of the 15th Mew. And then before that, just a letter saying, you know, thank you for the impact you've had and please come back. So it's like my heart now is like, you know, 78 times its normal size, and it's like 2 in the afternoon. I get another email. Hey, Mac, come to the University of Arizona, and I want you to do post-traumatic winning. I've got a couple of COAs for you. I got a couple of dates, blah, 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 blah. Guy's name is Scott Norton. So I immediately call him because I didn't feel like emailing. He doesn't answer. Then he calls me right back. So we're talking. I said, yeah, give me the dates, you know, and I'd love to. I said, my son graduated from the University of Arizona. He said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, he's a general studies major. he said, what? I said, yeah, general studies. So, Patrick calls me, and he went to school for most of his school on at the University of Arizona was for my, I gave him like 2 years of my GI Bill. And so Patrick used that, and then he said, okay, look, Dad, he called me, here's what I can do. I can get a degree in general studies, or I can stay and spend another $30,000 and I can get a degree from the School of Business. What do you think? And I started laughing. I said, what do I think? I said, well, let me ask you this. What do you think? And he said, I think I should take my general studies degree and get out of here. I said, I agree with you, man. That's what I would do. So anyway, so now we're talking. Okay. And I said, okay, now here's what I want you to do. I said, I want you to approach the first responder community, and I want you to approach the wider university community to do events outside of the ones we'll do for your, for the NROTC unit. And he goes, wow, holy shit. And I said, yeah, holy shit is right. I said, look, you're going to have a chance to make a bigger impact than just with your NROTC cadets. You know, when I went up to Mankato, you know, first of all, the people in the behavioral health, you know, sciences are interested, right? Sociology, psychology. So what do these Marines have to say about, you know, mental health and about trauma? And then they come in and they get crushed by post-traumatic winning. And so it's really cool. It's really cool. So then, and I said, so, you know, we can do it for the cadets. And he said, well, and I also teach some classes. You can come to that. And I said, I would love to. And then he said, I'll get in touch with the chief of police. And, I said, yep. I said, and then a general event that's open to anybody in the evening. He said, wow. So I used to have this saying, good on top of good on top of good on top of good, that is inadequate for my life. Now, how about great on top of great on top of great on top of great? I mean, what is beyond that? incredible on top of incredible on top of incredible. But yesterday, just one of an amazing day in my life. And last night, as I was working to about midnight, I didn't probably properly reflect on it. But it was just an absolutely incredible day, full of future opportunities, every one of those, a future opportunity. And then just go to bed with a happy, happy heart. Now, I tell you this not to emphasize what a cool person I am, even though that's pretty much true. I tell you that hopefully to inspire you. I mean, I'm not anything special in this realm other than, you know, I have a voice and I've tried to use it. But every one of you that's listening to this knows people that struggle. And if you haven't reached out to them, right, boot yourself in the ass and stick your hand out and say, hey, man, I'd like to talk to you. And that's what I do. I don't, if you listen to this program, you know that this is not a highfalutin event. I don't do highfalutin. I think it's bullshit. All it does is alienate people. Even the video I made, right? I'm sitting on a sawhorse in my shorts last night with a hooded sweatshirt and a baseball hat on. Yeah, the fanciest thing in the whole video is the lapel mic that I use. That's the fanciest thing. The dogs are walking on the brick wall behind me as I'm doing it. That's how ghetto the video is. While I'm doing the intro, I film the introduction, then I narrate the rest of it. But there's nothing, and even Stacy says it, you know, in her letter. You know, hold on. Post-traumatic winning is what? Max's approach is pragmatic, right? That means, I think, that means I say the F word a lot. But no, that's what I've sought. To me, it's what good is your knowledge if you can't make it relatable to other people? The answer is it's not useful. The answer is your knowledge is collecting dust on your bookshelf. Congratulations, stupid. Congratulations for having no impact for all the work you put in. If you're serious about the work you do, you should be serious about the way you communicate it. And if you want a lot of people to listen to it, you better put it in a format, and it happens to be the format. I don't care if I'm talking about decision making or whatnot. You better put it in terms that people can understand, or you can go hang out with the fucking knobs of the planet, right? And you can have your little knob fest, but does that help anybody? Is that what giving is supposed to be about? And if you've invested so much in your life, don't you want to change people's lives? Well, I'm telling you, if you haven't reached out to change people's lives, then you need to do it. You need to do it. Because what awaits you is a day like I had yesterday. That's what awaits you. And I will tell you, I mean, I would never have thought that my life could be what it is now, ever, ever. And so, I mean, to me, it's an incredible experience. It's an incredible experience. And I hope what people like Stacy see is if that dope can do it, I could do it. Yeah. That's what I honestly hope. Because it takes a little bit of time to and reading and understanding, but you don't have to be an expert to turn somebody else onto it. You don't have to be an expert to have a discussion with somebody. You don't have to be an expert to say, I don't really have it figured out, but here's what I think. That's an honest discussion that people need to have, and we don't have enough of them. So, with that said, I thought I would share my yesterday with you. And I hope tomorrow, I hope today's just as good or better. And it might be. So we will see. It's early in the day. So Let me tell you what we're going to do on the program this morning. I talked about the Aspen Security Conference and how much I enjoyed it last year. I want to say, I think General Dunford was there last year. So this year, one of my favorite guys when he speaks in public is General Kenneth McKenzie. He's a Marine. But he's pretty blunt, which I like. So he's interviewed by David Ignatius. So we're going to listen to that interview. And then I think next week, we're going to listen to a second interview about China. Where does the United States go next with China? Which has some pretty big-time people in it. So given our love of looking at things American and Chinese, I think that'll be very interesting to listen to. So good morning to you. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. And again, I hope that listening to my day yesterday, listening to Stacy's letter, I hope it inspires you to go change somebody's life. Because I'm going to tell you, it's a pretty cool feeling when you read something like that and know that you've helped touch somebody. You've helped touch somebody. And I will tell you this. There are bigger things in store for post-traumatic winning. I believe that. I mean, I would love to see post-traumatic winning as a Netflix event. You know, maybe like 4 hours are the class. And then just tell people stories. And, you know, Matt Kiker's story. Stacy Falzerano's story. Parker's story. I mean, all these different human dramas of normal people who then look at a camera and say, you can do it too. And the millions of people out there that are groping for a solution that isn't coming anytime soon. So, I mean... I believe this since I started it. And this vision only is getting bigger and bigger. And so it's exciting. So get off your ass, as Stacy says. Get off your ass and start winning, right? And all you got to do is say, hey, man, can I talk to you? So with that said, good morning to you. On a Wednesday, the United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. I don't think there's anybody else that I should dedicate this to. No. Then the people yesterday who contributed to making yesterday one of the great days of my life. Professionally. I'm blessed to have a great kids. And I even have a great ex-wife. As odd as that sounds. But professionally... one of the great days of my life. To the director of a school who took the time to reach out, to the leadership of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, to the incredible Stacy Falzerano, and to Kevin Norton over at the University of Arizona, heading their NROTC unit. Thank you for being part of my life and contributing to one of the great days of my life. So this is dedicated to those four people who kicked my ass yesterday in a fit of joy. And I talk about the way you overcome trauma is you create joyful experience, right? Trauma to joy. Well, you can't make your traumatic experiences go away. We all know that. But this is what I'm talking about, and that is overwhelming the trauma in your life with joyful experiences. And yesterday was a day and I've had some incredible days of my life, you know. In fact, one of them just sent me a text, Libby. I mean, Libby's one that taught me about what it is to give this wisdom, right? It's one thing to have the wisdom. It's another thing to the things that start happening to you, right? And so this is dedicated to those people.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning, man. I'm telling you, it's where it's at. Get off your ass. Have a conversation. Go help somebody. And put one in the win column. It's pretty cool, I'm not going to lie to you. Currently, we'll check the weather in Marineland. Sunny and 82 in Quantico. They have 3 weather alerts, so we have to check that. It's been a while since we checked it. So let's see what's going on. Weather alerts. One, flood warning in effect until noon Eastern time, so that'll expire in 20 minutes. There's a flash flood watch in effect. And there's a second flood warning in effect. So that's what's going on in Quantico. Down the coast, Camp Lejeune, it is mostly sunny in 87. 29 Palms, sunny in 85. Camp Pendleton, sunny already, which means it's going to be hot. That's what that means. Sunny in 67. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dawn breaking, cloudy in 72. Across the ocean to Okinawa, Shima. It is clear, odd for Okinawa. Clear, dark in 83. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, the south central part of the country is where that's located. It is clear, dark in 94. And a little bit further to the southwest in Iraq, late in the day, it is sunny and 103. Currently in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is It is sunny and 66. What's going on with the weather? Looking for a high today of 75. Oops, 78. 82 tomorrow, 84 on Friday, 84 on Saturday, 82 on Sunday. So going to warm up here near the coast in Southern California. But honestly, the weather has been absolutely spectacular. So don't touch that dial. More of Allmaring Radio. We'll check some news headlines. And then I enjoyed the Aspen Security Forum. When they get together, they're doing it virtually this year, but when they get together, you have big hitters, and then you have pretty reputable interviewers. In this case, David Ignatius from the Washington Post, longtime writer on foreign affairs and national issues. He's going to interview General McKenzie. And General McKenzie, very plain spoken. That's why he's one of my favorites. So let me tell you the quote that he he was a spokesman, right? He's a guy that would go out and brief the media. So he might have been the ops guy. So he might have been the J3, but he was a briefer. So anyway, I can't remember what happened. In the South China Sea. And McKenzie's like, he says, look, do you think we're intimidated by any of that? He said, in case nobody remembers, we have a fair amount of history of island fighting in the region. Oh! It was awesome, right? Things you're not supposed to say. He goes, just for the record, we've done that before. So anyway, you'll hear from him. More of Allmaring Radio on a Wednesday coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Kamala Harris, senator from the state of California, on the presidential ticket now. Yeah, the undercard for vice president. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I honestly haven't paid too much attention to it of late. I will say this. I mean, the stupidity of like hacking your police force and things like that, cutting their funding, reducing its size. I think there should be penalties, and I've said this before, for politicians that make horrendous, right, that make horrendous policy decisions. You know, this is kind of a good idea, that if you screw it up, you can be tried for conduct unbecoming a politician. Yeah, we should have a new law in the country. Conduct unbecoming a politician. If you could imagine such a thing. Yeah. And you can. They could be tried. They could be tried in court. And if convicted, they get sent to Devil's Island. That's right. We won't send your family there with you, although I'm tempted. But you're going to Devil's Island forever. Yeah. I don't know if you should be allowed to come back. Because you took an oath. Right? You took an oath to do what was right for the American people. And not only did you screw it up, you screwed it up so badly, right, that we are charging you under Article 134 of the U.S. Code with conduct unbecoming a politician. How awesome would that be? That would be great. Okay, Matt, give me some examples. Okay, I'll give you one. George Bush for starting the war in Iraq. Yep. He charged with Article 134. How do you plead? I mean, that disaster's still unfolding, for crying out loud. I almost said for Christ's sakes, and I caught myself. Tommy Franks. And that Myers dude who was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff who went forward to go to war with phase four not articulated. And they were Vietnam dudes, both of them charged with a violation of Article 134. Mac, but they're not politicians. Oh, yeah, they were. They stopped being military guys and they started being politicians. Oh, so they can be charged. Or we could recall him to active duty and we'll charge him with a violation of Article 134 of the UCMJ. I don't care. Either jurisdiction works for me. So those would be examples of errors that you're simply not allowed to commit. You swore an oath to this country. If you violate it, and what ensues is horrendous, then you're going to own it. Yeah, I had the urge to tack on a motherfucker right there. But see, I'm trying to be good today. I'm struggling. I'm struggling now that I'm pissing myself off. So these idiots in Minneapolis, these idiots in Los Angeles, these idiots in Portland and Seattle that are defunding the police. When the death toll goes up, when the crime rate goes up, when the looting takes place. I mean, what happened in Chicago the other night? That was a fucking joke. It was cops shoot somebody, and then it was an immediate action drill. Create traffic downtown, and then we will loot the Miracle Mile again. That's all that was. That's bullshit. And let me tell you, something's got to be done about the city of Chicago. I don't know what, but people that are really smart, what do we need to do? Quadruple the size of the police force? I mean, that's straight up like a version of Mexico in Illinois. And those idiots in Chicago, they can't figure it the fuck out. Meanwhile, the people that live there, they have to live in all that shit. Why did Manhattan thrive? Oh, guess what? There's cops everywhere. You can't turn around in Manhattan without seeing a cop. Well, geez. Manhattan becomes this mecca of the United States. Because it's perceived as safe. You can go there. Let me tell you, the guy who's the mayor of New York City, that guy's an idiot. Unbelievable. I mean, the people of New York City, really? That guy? There was no better choice than him. Well, that tells you we have something wrong with American politics. That guy. You watch what he does, what he thinks is right. Good Lord. And now, you know, so the city council, city of Seattle, votes to lay off 100 police officers and cut the budget, and the police chief resigns. So in my opinion, right, if people start dying, they should be charged with Article 134, conduct unbecoming a politician. And again, we all know that they're such slimy bastards, right? So conduct unbecoming, how egregious does that, how egregious does that conduct have to be? And so to me, it should be conduct that's pandering for political gain that leads to the death of citizens. How about that? Yeah. You shitheads are going to Devil's Island too. Tell George Bush I said hey. Well, you don't really. Tell him I said to fuck off. Just keep helping vets, though, from his foundation. But, you know, you could do it from Devil's Island. Tell Don Rumsfeld he's an idiot. All right? The whole lot of them. So anyway, it's heartbreaking. Because the people that are going to pay the price... The people that are going to pay the price aren't the people that are making those laws. And it's like the mayor in Seattle. As long as that shit was going on downtown and screwing up other people's lives, oh, it was a weekend festival, right? Those shitheads got near her house, and how quick did that shut down? Oh, that was a coincidence, Mac. Oh, really? Got near her house on Sunday, and the thing got shut down on Tuesday? Interesting. But... let me read you a couple emails. Here's one. So I'm sitting here trying to work. I've got you on my headset. And you read Stacy Falzerano's letter. I sat here wiping tears from my eyes. But I do have to tell you this, Mac. These stories that you share with us are honestly unbelievable and inspiring. I will get off my dead ass today. There is somebody that I can help. I know it. I've been reluctant to do it because I just didn't know how to ask the first question. Thank you for sharing the things that you share here. It's honestly amazing. I've been listening to you for a couple years now to watch this thing develop and grow, to hear the tone in your voice, which all of us can tell. It's simply amazing. Congratulations. But don't get too big of a head. It won't fit through your garage door anymore. But I will reach out today. Thank you for the boot in the ass and tell Stacy the same. Here's another one. What an incredible woman. And what an incredible writer. Please give her our best, Mac. If she's doing this so soon, God bless you for getting it in front of her. She must be incredibly strong. And we will look for great things from her. Let me tell you what this. Not only is she incredibly strong, she's pretty smart too. Yeah, she's like, yeah, you don't get to be like a writing books about China's space policy unless you're like wicked ass smart. And she is that kind of, I wouldn't say intimidating, but it could be. It could be. All right, I'm going to do a couple of, should I do any headlines? Like, who gives a shit about the news, right? All right. Stars and Stripes filled with stories about the daily uptick or downtick of COVID-19 cases. But here's a couple other stories. Marines bring Ospreys to the annual Saber Junction exercise in Germany. Yeah, how about that? Jugheads in Germany. Doesn't happen very often, but that's going on. U.S. military delivers emergency food and medical aid to Beirut. So congratulations to us on that. Here's another story. Three Texas soldiers arrested in child prostitution sting near Fort Hood. What? Anyway, I won't even read the story, but just the headline. All right, a couple of headlines out of the Wall Street Journal, America's greatest newspaper. Biden-Harris ticket to make debut after historic vice presidential choice. That the top headline. And then, let's see, from the editorial column, there's an article about Putin's vaccine on the opinion page. Then I think there's an interesting discussion whether Kamala Harris will satisfy progressives or is she, in a Democratic Party, too conservative for the Bernie Sanders wing and whatnot. So that'll be an interesting fight. And you heard this before. When we talked about the national politics. So the trick in the Democratic primary is to be left, and then for the general election, you come back to the right. So we'll see how that works out for him. I haven't followed it that closely. And honestly, I don't intend to. There's too much good work to be done. And the other beautiful thing about our country is you can't take the steering wheel of the United States and go left or right. Just doesn't happen, right? Between two houses of two legislative houses, you can't turn it left or right. You're right. You can go north-northeast or north-northwest. You can't go east or west. All right, it's pointed north, and that's where it's going. Top five stories in early bird today. State Department did not consider civilian casualties when sending arms to the Middle East, the report finds. Number two, annual training in South Korea expected to continue next week. Got that going for us. Number three, lawmakers push President Trump to restore full funding for National Guards responding to pandemic. Number four, new U.S. Army service uniform will be issued to recruits later this year. And that's the World War II pink and green style, right? Which is pretty cool. Number five, Air Force has 100 ROTC scholarships for students at black colleges in a push for diversity. Awesome. Overseas operation, U.S. spy planes in South Korea sees creating risk for civilian traffic. According to who? Oh, that's according to a Chinese military source. Gotcha. Guam-based bombers trained with Japanese fighters. We like that. And then here's an odd story. Russian MiG-31s allegedly intercept a Global Hawk over Arctic waters. Intercept a drone? That's interesting. So here's the story. The Russian military claims that three MiG-31s scrambled to intercept an RQ-4 Bree? An RQ-4. B, as in Bravo. I think I was going to say Bravo, and then I decided to say B, and I kind of combined it all together. Operating in neutral waters, shouldn't it be neutral airspace, over the Chukchi Seas? Chukchi, C-H-U-K-C-H-I. Not Chuck E. Cheese, but Chukchi. Sounds like Chuck E. Cheese, though. The Chukchi Seas, part of the Arctic Ocean, bound in the east by Point Barrow, Alaska, on August 11th. The remotely piloted aircraft remained in international territory. Like, who wrote this? Should be. The remotely piloted aircraft remained in international airspace, and the MiGs, which belong to the Air Defense Forces of the Eastern Military District, returned to their bases when the Global Hawk changed directions without crossing into Russian airspace, according to state-run media, which also noted, quote, the operation was performed in accordance with international law. U.S. Northern Command did not immediately respond to a request for comment and did not confirm the intercept took place. What's puzzling to me is that, what is an intercept? Planes go up and look at other planes, and they fly near them. That's an intercept. And so these stories are kind of weird because they want to make it sound like something that's really ordinary. And is like somehow extraordinary. So we're collecting intelligence, we're in international airspace, we have things that see far away, that photograph very, very, precisely things far away, and so we do those things. So, yeah, and we try to make it sound crazy. Anyway. And this is not because I met Stacy, but I'm interested in this in space, because I'm interested in what's going to happen up there. Because if you don't own space, or if you can't compete there, they're going to be able to see you, and you're not going to be able to see them. So space is a pretty important domain. So here's a story. Space Force defines space power in Capstone Doctrine. All right, I'm going to read the definition. Space Capstone Publication is Space Force first official doctrine, and it will serve as the foundation for further doctrines. Jay Raymond. Jay Raymond is Molly Raymond's husband. Now, I don't know that I met Jay. I might have. I met Molly, though. Molly's a nice, she's a good person. One of the principles of an independent service is the creation of doctrine, said General John J. Raymond, Chief of Space Operations. The Space Capstone publication explains why space power is a vital element of U.S. prosperity and security, and now and in the future. All right, let me see if they provide. Okay, and there's one more story that I just noticed that I want to share with you. And I think it's by my old it features my old battalion commander when I was a second lieutenant, Chip Gregson. I've got to get a hold of him. On this episode, Def Arrow Report Daily podcast sponsored by Bell, guest Lieutenant General Wallace Chip Gregson, USMC retired, a former Assistant Secretary of Defense for Defense of Asian and Pacific Security Affairs, who is now the Senior Director for China and the Pacific in the Center for the National Interest, and Misha Oslin, PhD, the Payson, treat distinguished fellow research in contemporary Asia at Stanford's Hoover Institution. They discuss U.S.-China relations. How about that? My old battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel Gregson, when I knew him, he was like too smart. Yeah. Like crazy, crazy smart. So I will have to – now that's cool, man. Chip Gregson, come on Home Marine Radio. He could talk about me. So I'm a second lieutenant. I'm the junior lieutenant in the battalion. We deploy to Okinawa. I'm walking to work. And our executive officer was a guy named Pete Metzger. His nickname was the Blade because he annihilated lieutenants all the time. Getting posted and relieved as the officer of the day was a nightmare experience. You better have your shit together, because if you didn't, if you screwed up when you walked into his office, so you'd be in the hallway, right? And you'd have your uniforms done. And if you, when you walked in, right, you made your facing movements, you got in front of his desk, right? And the guy, the outgoing officer of the day would say, "Sir, Lieutenant McNamara, outgoing officer of the day reporting as ordered, sir." And then he cuts his next lieutenant. "Sir, Lieutenant Flood, oncoming officer of the day, reporting his order." If you screwed that up, you got sent back out in the hallway. And there's guys who did it 20 times. he would get pissed. And then you'd be so nervous, right? You'd be so nervous. He made a friend of mine eat, like, he comes in the wardrobe, we're on ship. And my friend Jerry Mowry, he was eating in the wardroom. And Colonel Metzger was right when he did this. He walks in and he looks at Mowry's the officer of the day. And he looks at him, he goes, "Lieutenant Mowry, what are you doing in here?" "Sir, I was eating chow." "You're the officer of the day. You belong on the mess deck with the Marines." He said, "So I want you to go down there. And I want you to eat a whole nother meal. You got it? I want you to fill that tray, and I want you to eat it. And you make sure that our Marines are eating good food. Got it?" "Yes, sir." He went down and did it, too. He filled his tray, and he came back up to our room, and he said, "I can't even move, man. I've got so much chow in my body." But anyway, I'm walking to work as a second lieutenant on aboard Camp Hansen, walking down the hill from where the old O Club was down to our company CP. Second Lieutenant McNamara going to work. And all of a sudden, at the end of the building, right, at the end of the battalion CP, the office that was closest to the street was the battalion commander's office. So I'm walking by, and all of a sudden, the back hatch that faces the street, that thing comes open, and it's the Blade, Pete Metzger, major type. He just had come from the White House. Yeah. I don't know what he did for the president, but he was, yeah, I don't know. He might have carried the football. His dad was General Louis Metzger, United States Marine Corps, World War II. Look him up. Yeah. So anyway, the door flies open. Metzger looks at me and says, "Matt, come here." I'm like, oh, shit. So I walk up, salute. "Yes, sir." He said, "Do you have a platoon commander's notebook that you keep on your Marines?" Now, we were told that we weren't supposed to do that, that all the stuff we kept could only be kept in official records. And I looked at him and I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You keep notes in it?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Go get it right now." I said, "Yes, sir." Salute it. And I take off running. Wah! I go and get my book. Now it's hot in Okinawa, like at 7 in the morning. So now I'm already sweating. My buddies, one or two of them, are already at work. And I walk in. They're like, "What are you doing? Why are you sweating?" I'm like, "The Blade grabbed me. He wants my platoon commander's notebook." And they look at me. They're like, "Uh-oh." I'm like, "Whatever, man." So I grab my platoon commander's notebook, and it's got all the names of my Marines and the notes I keep on them. So I go running back. I pound on the hatch. Boom, boom, boom. He opens it. He said, "Come on in here." And here's Lieutenant Colonel Gregson. I think the OPSO was in there too. And so I hand the book to Metzger, and he starts flipping through it. He hands it to Lieutenant Colonel Gregson, and he says, Do all lieutenants keep these?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Good." And then Metzger looked at me and he said, "Thanks, Mac." And he looks at Gregson and he says, "I told you, lieutenants will figure it out. They'll do the right thing. They got to have these things to keep notes to, you know, so that they can counsel and do pro cons." It's like, "All right, awesome." And they dismissed me. I left. I was like, "Oh my God, I dodged a bullet." But General Gregson, I think he was doing, he was part of like the very embryonic phases of Cyber Command and stuff like that. He's a smart guy. So anyway, we'll see if we can get him on. Now he's doing China stuff. So interesting. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, General Kenneth McKenzie, you'll hear from him. And David Ignatius at the Aspen Security Forum. So, the Aspen Security Forum. So, no, it's good stuff. McKenzie talks about Afghanistan and Iraq. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.